Let's read together Leviticus chapter 10. In this chapter, we see the judgment of God upon the priests, Nadab and Abihu, because they offered strange fire before the Lord. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses of the chapter. Then Nadab and Abihu each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered strange or profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. Then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Leviticus chapter 10, with some background notes. In Leviticus chapter 8, we had the consecration of Aaron and his sons for priestly service. And in Leviticus chapter 9, we had the beginning of their priestly service after their consecration. Chapter 9 concluded with the blessing of Moses and Aaron on the people and the fire of the Lord consuming the burnt offering on the altar of sacrifice. I'm reading the last verses of Leviticus chapter 9. "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." From Leviticus chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. So we see that everything began well. So much so that we almost expected Leviticus chapter 9 to conclude with, quote, "And the priests served faithfully from that day forward and even forevermore." But such was not the case. Here in chapter 10, we learn that Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire before the Lord, and their lives were taken in judgment by the fire of the Lord. Now, the first question that logically comes to our minds is, what was this strange fire that they put in their censers or fire pans? Well, we don't know for sure, but here are a few suggestions. It may have been fire of their own making, and not from the coals of fire from the brazen altar as required under the law. Or it may have been an incense mixture of their own making, and not the prescribed incense. Or it may have been offered at a time which was not the prescribed times of morning and evening. Or maybe Nadab and Abihu went into the Holy of Holies. Or maybe, as verse 9 suggests, they were drunk when they were conducting the worship. We don't know for sure, but in any case, the strange fire of Nadab and Abihu was unacceptable worship, and it had serious consequences. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this chapter. Doctrinal point number one, worship that is not biblical is unacceptable worship. Worship that is not biblical is unacceptable worship. I'm reading something I wrote some years ago entitled Acceptable Worship. Quote, "In Leviticus chapter 10, we read of Nadab and Abihu who offered strange fire before the Lord. As a result, the scripture says that they died before the Lord. Their worship was unacceptable because of wrong procedure. Either they used fire that was from the wrong altar, or they burned incense at the wrong time, or in the wrong place, or they did something else that was out of line with God's prescribed procedure of worship. Well, so what? Is God so narrow that he won't accept worship that is out of line with his set standards? That's right. This does not mean, however, that there can be no variety in our worship of God. Just as Old Testament believers had freedom within the restrictions that God had set up, so believers today have freedom of worship within limits. As long as our worship is Christ-centered and Christ-focused, there is considerable freedom in procedure. For example, God does not restrict the forms and instruments for our music, or whether we sit, stand, or kneel when we sing or pray. He does not define the time or length or schedule of our worship services. Whether it be individual or corporate worship, there is room for considerable variety in our worship. But worship that is not Christ-centered is strange fire. It is unacceptable worship. The worship of Unitarians or the cults, for example, is unacceptable to God because the doctrines of these groups deny the full deity of Christ. Thus, they dishonor the very one who must be the focus of our worship. End of quote. Now, you can read the rest of this essay on our website, growingchristians.org. Nadab and Abihu, of course, are not the only case in the Bible of unacceptable worship. Cain would be the first example in Genesis chapter 4. Cain brought an offering of his own choosing, which was not in line with what God had revealed as the way of worship. This was unacceptable. And remember King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, who wrongly entered the temple to burn incense before the Lord. This was unacceptable worship because only priests were allowed inside the temple. And Uzziah, although he was king, was not a priest. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. In spirit means that acceptable worship is not defined by or dependent on buildings with stained glass windows or candles or organs or liturgies. No, it is our spirit's response to God in thanksgiving and praise. In truth, we must worship in spirit and in truth. In truth means that acceptable worship must be in line with what God has revealed to be truth. Obviously, in truth worship must be Christ-centered and Christ-focused because he is the truth, the ultimate revelation of God to man. Worship that does not acknowledge the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how sincere, is false worship. Worship that is not biblical is unacceptable worship. Doctrinal point number two. Worship that is not biblical has serious consequences. Worship that is not biblical has serious consequences. Let's continue reading the rest of this chapter. And Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, who were left. Take the grain offering that remains of the offerings made by fire to the Lord, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due or portion, and your sons' due, of the sacrifices made by fire to the Lord. For so I have been commanded. The breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering you shall eat in a clean place, you, your sons, and your daughters with you, for they are your due and your sons' due, which are given from the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering they shall bring with the offerings of fat made by fire to offer as a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be yours and your sons with you, by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses made careful inquiry about the goat of the sin offering, and there it was, burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, who were left, saying, Why have you not eaten the sin offering in a holy place, since it is most holy? And God has given it to you to bear the guilt of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. See, its blood was not brought inside the holy place. Indeed, you should have eaten it in a holy place, as I commanded. And Aaron said to Moses, Look, this day they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? So when Moses heard that, he was content. Let me explain what's going on in this chapter after the judgment of Nadab and Abihu. because Aaron and his remaining sons were priests and had the responsibility to continue in their important active role as priests, verses 6 and 7, they were not to become unclean by touching the dead bodies of Nadab and Abihu, and they were not to publicly mourn their deaths. Thus, Mishael and Elzaphan, who were not priests, buried the bodies, and all Israel publicly mourned concerning the event. But Aaron and his sons remained on active duty, as it were, as priests before the Lord. In verses 8 through 11, we have the only reference to the Lord speaking directly to Aaron by himself, apart from Moses. Aaron is told that in their important role as priests, he and his sons were to convey the holiness of God in their lifestyle, especially when they were on the job officiating. Now, a good question here for us would be, do we as believer priests convey the holiness of God in our lifestyle? In verses 12 through 15, further instructions were given to Moses concerning the way of worship as to the eating of the grain offering and the eating of portions of the wave and heave offerings, which, remember, were different forms of the peace offering. In verses 12 through 20, we see that the reason for Moses being angry with Aaron was because Aaron had burned the remainder of the sin offering instead of eating it, which was unacceptable worship according to the way that God had ordained. Only when the blood of the sin offering was brought into the holy place was the remainder of the sin offering to be burned. Aaron's explanation of why he had departed from God's acceptable way of worship was either that he was grief-stricken or that he felt unworthy in view of God's judgment of his sons, Nadab and Abihu. In any event, the explanation was accepted by Moses, as we see in verse 20. So when Moses heard that, he was content. We see from the events in this chapter that God was serious about his Old Testament people following the proper way of worship, as he specifically revealed it to them. And there were serious consequences when they departed from God's acceptable way. And the same is true today. Worship that is not biblical has serious consequences. Now, what about practical application from Leviticus chapter 10? Don't detract from God's glory. Don't detract from God's glory. After the death of Nadab and Abihu, we read in verse 3, "And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified.'" In other words, because Nadab and Abihu did not follow the way of worship as God had commanded, no matter how sincere they may have been, they dishonored God and did not treat God as holy and thus detracted from the glory of God. Now, we say that we would never detract from the glory of God. Well, what about our way of worship? In worship, do we maintain the distinctive roles of men and women as God ordained them for the church? Do we worship in spirit and in truth as God intended? Is our worship Christ-focused and God-honoring? Or is it too focused on human entertainment and human exaltation? Don't detract from God's glory.